Pray with us. Father, we thank you that you are with us, and through faith, you strengthen us, you guide us, and you direct us. And Father, I pray for Roger and the words he speaks. Let them be yours. Let us see what you have done in his life. Let us be encouraged by who you are. We pray that you give us ears to hear and let this time glorify you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. When I left full-time ministry years and years ago, I went to work for a friend of mine, and he wanted me to run his business. And we discovered, and we don't know how long, it was a long time, but we discovered that out on our loading dock there was a covering, and up in the corner of that covering lived an owl. Just a wise old owl that just sat there. He didn't make any noise. He didn't disturb anything, but he was always there. And you're like that wise old owl for me. I've known this man for more than 25 years, and he's a lot like I described my uncle when I did his funeral. I said, he's like an M&M. He's hard on the outside and really soft in the middle. And you look at Roger and you think, oh gosh, is he going to bite my head off or what? But then when you get to know him, you find out what a treasure, what a wise old owl he is. You gave me a challenge this week. I've asked everybody along the way, pick out the song that means something to you for the leading up to this. That song is as old as Methuselah.
Yes, but it's good.
It is a great song. But they didn't have videos when they started recording that song. It took me forever to find it on video.
No, they didn't.
What's that song mean to you?
Well, there's several things. A little history behind it. Peggy and I were dating. We went to this little bitty place in Arlington, I think. I can't remember. It was just up bigger than this, and the group was for him. They were nobody at the time. They were an old wore-out bus, and when they sang that song, it just lifted me up.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the words, it says, it doesn't use these words, but you can believe in stuff, but if you don't have faith,
right,
there's nothing. Right. I mean, if you got to have faith in God, and when you do, there's nothing you can't do.
When you got to the point where you heard that song for the first time, it had been a rugged road that you had been on.
Oh, yes.
Are you a Texan?
Yeah, I was born in Fort Worth, on the west side of Fort Worth, over by Carswell Air Force Base, River Oaks.
Tell me about your mom and dad.
Loving parents on the outside, very hard-shelled, both of them. My dad told me he loved me probably when he was in his late 80s. That was the first time. Now, he loved me.
Right.
My mom loved me, but they didn't say it.
Right.
And mom didn't say it either.
Yeah. Were they Christians?
Yeah. They did that right. If that church door was open, we were in that church. Our family went to another church to help start another church, and they wanted them to be part of it because they knew how they were. And so, yeah, That's the one thing they did really right.
So you were a church planner early on.
Yeah.
When'd you get saved?
Well, I was about 11 or 12, and it's Church of Christ.
And it's they're Christians too.
They're Christians, but there's a caveat there.
Yeah, there is.
And I'd been talking to my mom for about 2 months. My dad didn't know it. I'd been talking because the Lord was talking to me. But part of it, I got saved, but part of it was because the pastor kept saying, you can be saved, but if you're not baptized, you're spending eternity in hell. So part of it was fear.
Right.
But I got baptized in several churches because they wanted me to be baptized to fit in.
Yeah, that's a whole different story. So what were your teenage years like?
Well, I kind of drifted away. Didn't want to go to church. Didn't really, when I got 15, I thought, I want to have fun. I want to do this, do that. Didn't do anything really mischievous, but drifted away and stopped going to church at probably 17.
I'm always fascinated by, and this could go, there's no right or wrong answer because it goes either way, but was the effect of having to be at church every single Sunday part of your not wanting to be at church?
Probably.
I mean, some people it affects that way, some people it doesn't.
Because it was constant. And we had events, and if we did anything, it was with the church.
Right.
I mean, we had the men's swimming time and the women's, because you couldn't be in the pool with the opposite sex.
You're so much older than I think you are. So, you drifted away, you quit going at 17. When did you find your way back?
Well, I got married to a woman, divorced, and all that, had a child, married another woman, and it was a rough time because we had conflict in our beliefs. And I got to my end, and it was just bad. It was really bad. And I was probably early 30s, 33, 34, something like that, and I was in my car driving home from work, and I said, okay, God, that's it. I can't do this. I cannot do this without you. And so, ever since then, he's been leading me.
Yeah. Now, without going too deep, when he says there was a conflict in their belief, there was a conflict in their belief. She was a Wiccan. And you were... experiencing a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah, yes.
That will make you question really what truth is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was a Wiccan. She was involved in witchcraft, the cards, I can't think of the name right now, and the ruins, the whole nine yards. And we had a lot of interesting discussions, her trying to convince me that reincarnation and these other things were correct, and I would tell her no.
So here's my question, because that's an extreme worldly view of life, and we're all faced with worldly views where you're trying to sort out really what truth is. How did you, in the midst of this tide that's rushing against you, find truth and stay steadfast in it?
Well, I started long after that encounter that said, I'm following you. I started getting in the Word all the time.
Yeah.
I was listening to Christian music, listening to Christian pastors, J. Vernon McGee, Chuck Swindoll, and I was in the Word. And so I knew what was the truth. I knew what was right. And I know you've talked about this before, when you've got to hear the voice of God. Well, believe me, I've heard the voice of God more than just a few times. Yeah. And he tells me, he guides me, and I ask for direction. I say, okay, Lord, what should I do in this situation? And it helps when it's just me and him. And I talk to him, and I says, okay, I got my answer.
So, and this is important for all of us, because it's such a wise lesson in that we all want God's direction in our lives on a daily basis. You ask him and you expect him to answer, right?
Yes, I do. And he does.
How do you get to that place?
Well, I think by talking to him, praying to him, and then reading his word and finding out what he's saying, that's when he's talking back to you.
And we aren't talking about just spiritual issues.
No.
You ask God how to cut down a tree.
I've asked him to do numerous tasks that I've done. And I find out later on that it's impossible to do it. But yet, he's done it. You know, I put in an attic stairs by myself, and they said, you can't do it by yourself. I said, well, I did it by myself, you know, because yeah. God showed me how to do it. And sometimes it won't tell me that day. I'll have a project that I got to do. It's 10 steps. He only tells me step one. And the end of the day, the next morning, I don't have the answer. Oh, okay. Now I got step two.
So you're one of the most methodical people I've ever met in terms of one of the lessons that all of us have to learn is not that you always do, but the vast majority of the time, you don't run ahead of God.
No.
How do you tell somebody, how do you teach somebody to wait on God? Because his word tells us all the time, wait on me. And we think it's this big spiritual revelation of waiting on me for something huge and dynamic. You believe it from a standpoint of daily life, yeah. That there may be something, some task, some place that God wants you to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm planning on going today, but maybe it's not today.
And that's happened to me too many times that well, like you mentioned the tree. I had the tree. It's about was a 40-foot tree. It was kind of hard to get, and I only could get a portion of it, and I said, I don't have the answer. So I borrowed a ladder from Chad and found out the ladder, I had a 27-foot, he had a 37-foot. Well, the 37-foot wasn't tall enough either. And then God told me, you told me to just to fail it. I said, no, there's no way. I can't do that. Well, then God told me to fail it. Okay.
So you listen to God, but not to me.
That's right.
We all want to get to that place where we're willing to listen to God. And I think one of the things that's so important for us as we grow in our spiritual walk is to understand truly that God wants to be involved in your life every single day.
Yes.
In everything that you do.
Everything.
He wants to be there. He will let you do it your own way. So many times we have a quiet time in the morning and then we go about our life and forget about God and live our life and get to the end of the day and think, well, I didn't pray or do anything today, and then you're feeling discouraged about that. But God wants to be involved in every step of your day. How'd you get to that place?
Well, I trusted him. I had faith in him. And I just started doing it. And I found out it works.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It works. Because there's, I don't know how many times I wanted to do a particular thing that I said, I want to go this way. And I said, God, then I said, oh, I forgot to ask. God, what should I do?
He it's said, a learned no. discipline.
Yeah. He said, no, that's not what you need to do.
It's a following God is a learned discipline. And if you want to follow him more, you got to be disciplined to ask him. Because if you ask, he tells you.
He tells you.
But at the same time, you also have to be willing to wait.
Yes. And that's hard sometimes. But you've got to do it. Because if he's not telling you, you better just sit.
That's one of the theologies and philosophies that I have lived my life by, thankfully, is that if you don't get an answer, then just wait. Because you're going to get one. God's not hiding in the bushes wanting you to somehow find him. If he doesn't answer, it means just be still, and he will. Eventually he will, yeah. When in his time. But the hard thing for us is living on God's timetable, and that's a learned discipline. That God brought you through a lot of heartache to get to that place.
Yes.
Through all that heartache, did you ever go, I'm done with you, God?
I got upset at one time, and I was living on 44 acres of land. I got outside, and I was making sure he could hear me. And I was yelling, looking up, having a long talk with him. And he was still there.
Yeah. And after that long talk, he was still there.
Yes, he was still there.
And he still loved you.
He still loved me. He let me vent.
Because he loves you that much.
And I just know he's there, and it fills you up whenever you feel him. You can sense him. You can sense his presence.
Yeah.
I've been in church before that, and my eyes were shut, and I literally had to open my eyes because I could feel his presence.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so strong.
The more time you spend with him, the easier it is to sense his presence.
And to hear him.
Yeah, I say all the time, people ask me, how do you know God's voice? How do you know what it sounds like? And the answer is the same every time, and nobody ever likes it. It's listen to him. The more you listen to him, the more you'll know what his voice sounds like.
Yeah, I actually heard it when I went to the missions with Jody and Trish the first time. We came back and we got together, and Jody said, well, the newbies, I want some of them just to tell us what we did. And so I was one of them. And he said, well, we got our speakers for the next morning. I thought, oh, my gosh. And it was a much bigger church than this. And so I went home, and I told Peggy what I wanted to say, and she put it in good English because I would slaughter it. And wrote it on the paper. Well, that next morning, it wasn't loud, but I could hear him. He was saying, don't read it. And I was actually saying it out loud to him. I'm reading it. And this happened about five times, got on the stage. He said again, don't read it. And I had the paper. I folded it up, put it in my pocket. It turned out real good.
Yeah, it always does.
Don't remember a word I said.
It always does. So from the point that you heard that song, and it had such an amazing impact, God's used you in ways that you never thought he would, to do things you never thought you would do.
Yeah.
How do you, because being up front and out front is not your comfort zone.
No. Put me in the back.
Yeah. How do you get to the place where you trust him? Because you've been all over the world now.
Yeah.
You never thought that would happen.
No, didn't.
Following him and being obedient.
Yeah.
How'd you get there?
Well, I had to trust him and believe that he was going to do it. And then when I saw what he did, it just was so amazing. I thought, and I got closer to him, and I sensed him, and I saw what he did time after time on those mission trips of things that shouldn't have happened, happened.
Yeah.
There just happened to be the right person to help me out through that particular, happenstance, which it wasn't a happenstance.
Right.
It was God working. And the first trip we went on, it was 2 weeks. I was getting 3 to 4 hours sleep a night, and I had all the energy in the world.
But was that in Russia?
That was in Belarus.
You went because God told you to. You were obedient.
Mm-hmm. Scared to death.
Scared to death. Being obedient doesn't mean you're not going to be scared. Being obedient means you have to trust me more.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I always, if I can give an analogy to understand what trusting and following God is like, have you ever been out on a clear night in the country? Y'all know what I mean by the country, where the street lights are gone and you can see the stars.
Oh, yes.
I mean, if you walk out around here at night, you might see one or two stars. But when you get out in the country where it's dark, the show is spectacular.
It is.
And following God is that way. You can follow him safely, like a lot of us like to do, and you'll see one or two stars. But when you go into the dark, where you're not comfortable and you don't know what's going to happen and you don't have any choice but to trust God, God's show is spectacular.
It is. When you know that you can't do it, it's not your ability, you have no talent at all, and then you watch it happen and you know it's not you.
And then you want more.
You want more.
You want to see it again.
Yeah. Matter of fact, when I got back from that first trip, you walked up to me in church and says, we're having a prison ministry and it's going to be happening this weekend. And I just looked at you and I said, I want to see what he can do. I saw what he did. I want more.
Yeah. God's addicting.
Yes.
The more God you get, the more God you want. And the lesson that you have, among other things, for all of us, is simple obedience of being faithful on the smallest of things produces great faith, like the song you mentioned. And great faith allows you to follow a God into places that you would never go.
Yep.
Because he is who he says he is.
He is.
And he's faithful.
He is completely faithful. You can trust him and watch him do his work.
If you had to say anything to your great-grandchild about God, what would it be?
You need to get to know him at a young age and stick with him and completely trust him, because he will take you all the way through your life.
It's really sweet, isn't it? It's really sweet. Thank you. Thank you for who you are and what you mean to me, and for sharing your wisdom. Stand with us, and we're going to close in prayer. If you didn't pass that tab in about July the 3rd, do that. Be a part of that. If you didn't, give it to Julie. She'll find you something to do where you can love on people on the job of her. So be a part of that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fact that we can trust you and we can have faith, and you will guide our every step. Father, take us from this room and use us. Remind us how much we need you, and use us to impact somebody's life this week. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.